All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. If you want to make your way to wherever you're going to be, we are talking about the spiritual realm, the things that we don't see in our universe, the things that are unseen, the things that our battle is against. Paul says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the rulers and the authorities. There's these spiritual forces at work in the universe that our eyes are really good at seeing the earthly results of, but a lot of times we attribute it to chance or to luck or to any number of other things, and the Bible attributes it to spiritual forces in rebellion. Might be demons, might be other things. I was just talking with Tommy a minute ago about Jude verse 6 that talks about the chained angels that had rebelled against God, that are chained up and waiting for destruction. So the idea that a spiritual group of beings would rebel against God just like humans, it's biblical. It's in multiple places in the Bible, and it's something that we don't really think about, because in one way, it really doesn't affect our daily life. Is it going to affect where you're going to eat after church? No. Is it going to affect whatever? But in other ways, it really does. Real havoc can be wreaked. I mean, look at the life of, I almost called him Legion. His name is not Legion, but he had a legion of demons in him. His life was wrecked from these spiritual forces. It can happen. It does happen. We don't need to freak out about it. We don't need to worry about it. We just need to know what we're up against. Paul has told us that we have to put on the full armor of God. Go read Ephesians 6, and you can read about the things that we're supposed to fill our life with. Jesus used an illustration of a man having a demon cast out, and if he just leaves it nice and wide open and swept out, guess what's going to happen? More is going to be invited back in. And so we have to fill our lives with the things that battle against this. You don't have to be paranoid. You don't have to be worried. Don't keep staring in the darkness. Shine your light. The darkness goes away. That's part of the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Scripture in there. Be armored with the full armor of God. So we're going to continue looking at some of the spiritual beings. What about other spiritual beings? We've talked a little bit about God and how he's created everything. He's created spiritual beings to serve him, to do work for him. He's created human beings to serve him and work for him. So let's talk about human beings for a moment. Do we always operate and do exactly what God has created us to do? No. That's called rebellion. Sin. Guess what the spiritual created beings did? Some of them. Same thing. That's what Jude is talking about. Go read Jude. It's short. It's weird. It's kind of fun. Jude quotes books that might not be in your Bible. He quotes some books called the Apocrypha or the Deuterocanonical books. He quotes Enoch. Enoch was, if I say the TV show Friends, even if you've never seen it, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Enoch was like Friends. Everybody knew what you were talking about. Okay? Everybody read it. Everybody heard it. It was really popular. Jude draws off of Enoch and quotes some stuff from Enoch about Moses and the angel wrestling and Satan arguing over Moses' bodies. Just go read Jude. Take a couple of aspirin and just realize that even Jude is plugged into, there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not always aware of. It's happening, and guess what? God's got it beat. And a time is going to come when all these rebellious spiritual forces are going to die like mere mortals, to quote the psalmist, that are chained up in chains waiting for judgment, to quote Jude and allude to Peter. That stuff's in there. We don't have to be panicked about it. We don't have to be worried about it. We live our life. We shine our light. We fill the hole with Christ. Then we can move forward. But it also helps me to have a whole lot of sympathy, a whole lot of understanding, and a whole lot of compassion for people who do struggle differently than I do. Because my problem is not with them. My problem is what they've invited in, that spiritual force that's pushing them to do things. It goes back to the matter of a heart. What's in your heart? What's your heart set on? Because anything we worship other than God is a Deuteronomy 32, and they sacrificed to Shadim, demons. There you go. All right? So, we're going to look at what some other spiritual beings are. Take a look. Next is in next week on the angel of the Lord. It's kind of interesting when you get into the angel of the Lord and how God will rule and carry out things through his created beings. The angel of the Lord is sometimes referred to as God himself. We'll get there. It's kind of interesting. Stretches our mind a little bit. So, examples in scripture of this, we're going to hit these really fast because we've been doing this now for several weeks. If you want to go back, go to our website, eastsidefamily.church, and right on the front page, scroll down a little bit, and you're going to see these divine counsel things. Click on them, you'll get the whole slideshow, you'll get all the audio, everything. You can go back and review some of that there. But some of the places in scripture where we see this, Psalm 82, verse 1, God presides in the great assembly, and he renders judgment among the gods, Elohim, spiritual beings, those that live, that reside in that other realm. Again, it continues down there. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. And to continue the phrase, but you will die like mere mortals. So there's a time coming when these created spiritual beings will cease to exist. Back to the question that we had a little bit ago. Okay, they're going to be judged just like us. There's going to be a time when they're going to come to an end. Hopefully not like us. God's put a salvation plan in place that where your earthly body's going to wear out, but your spiritual body keeps going and gets to dwell with him. Others are bound for torment, destruction, whatever you want to. I'm not going to jump down that rabbit hole today. Genesis chapter, I think this one is 6. One. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Who is us? Who is our? Scholars debate on that. I'm not going to answer that at the moment. Some will say, well, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'd say, amen. And God operates and creates and moves through his created beings. So I would say it's an answer of yes. It was us. There's more spiritual being, whether God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, whether it be angels carrying out work and going on these missions to do stuff. Yes. My opinion, yes. 1 Kings, we looked at this last week. This is where Asaph, the husband of Jezebel, most people know the name Jezebel. Woo-hoo. Ahab. What'd I say? Did I say Asaph? I'm sorry. A psalm of Asaph. I was looking at him ago. Ahab. Ahab, the husband of Jezebel. Bad dude, and God decides it's time to take him out. So Micaiah, the prophet, is telling Ahab and his advisors what he saw in his vision. He says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven, spiritual beings, standing around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? In other words, God wants to take him out. Who's going to do it for me? One suggested this and one another. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked. I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Who has decreed disaster? Who's carrying it out? A spiritual being is carrying out God's will in this way. Okay, moving forward. This is in Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Paul is going to go preach. He's got a layover in Athens. He's kind of stuck there. He's waiting on his travel party to come join him. And instead of, you know, checking into the motel and swimming and, you know, watching Netflix all night. He's going out and he's looking at the city and he decides to deliver a couple sermons. So he gets called in front of all the wise guys of Athens, the great thinkers. You know, you think about Aristotle and Socrates. It's these types of guys that Paul is talking to, and he's going to have a lesson. So he says, "For I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing that you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if you need, or as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. And God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." And we talked about the allusion there that Paul's going back to Genesis at Babel. When God divides up the boundaries, he divides people by names, he sends them out. Why did he do this? So that hopefully they would see a people that he takes, that he blesses, that he is living, and they'll go, "Man, what we've got is nothing compared to that," and they would reach out and find him. Again, if you want to hear more about the Genesis and more about the Deuteronomy 32, you can go back and listen to previous weeks on the website, or you can come ask me later and I'll point you to the website. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. "And when you look up to the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things that the Lord your God has apportioned to all nations under heaven." We talked about how Genesis, if you read the account of creation in Genesis 1, what is the purpose of the moon and the stars and those heavenly gas balls? To rule and to govern over the times and the seasons. God has given some of his authority to that. Ancient Israel followed a lunar calendar. If you ever look at your U.S. calendar and you start seeing, "Oh yeah, New Year's is January 1st, and then a little bit later you see something that says Jewish New Year. What? What? They operate on a different calendar. We all live in a world. We all operate by a certain calendar. Have you ever been a part of a church tradition that followed the church calendar very closely? We actually do here. You just don't know it. But anyway. Yeah, there's always multiple calendars that go on, right? Your life is the same way. Who's a fan of football? There's a football calendar, isn't there? There's an on-season and there's an off-season. Pitchers and catchers reported this past week, by the way. Baseball season is here. There's a calendar for that, right? Okay, we're used to having multiple calendars. There is a school calendar that we follow. There is a work calendar that we follow. There is a mostly global calendar that we follow that goes from January to December. And by the way, do you know that the names of our months and the names of our days are all derived from gods? You are here on Sunday. Guess what Sunday worships? But we worship the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. Your calendar is even a proclamation to pagan gods. Not to freak you out. You're not operating that way. You're not bowing down to the moon on a certain day. That's not what you're doing. But these people did. And so they're trying to get this clarified. When you go into these foreign lands and these people are living this way, you don't be that way. Because as for you, Yahweh took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace out of Egypt to be the people of his inheritance as you now are. So again, live like you're owned by one God and follow that one God. Yeah, there's other stuff out here to worship. Yeah, there's other stuff that has power, but it's nothing compared to our God. Don't get distracted from the mission. Anything we put in the place of where God should be becomes an idol. And according to Moses in Deuteronomy 32, we worship to idols, we are worshiping to shadim, negative spiritual forces that are pulling us that way. Daniel chapter 7, I tried to change this. I'm going to back up a little bit. I may have done it wrong. No, this will work right here. No, it won't. Okay, sorry. Sorry, okay. I changed it in the slide. I changed it in the wrong place, but we'll come back to this. All right, so we just watched that video talking about cherubim, right? Okay, what are they? How are they described in Scripture? Hybrid spiritual creatures, right? They're kind of a mashup of all kinds of animals, right? Okay, they're supposed to be... What, does God make evil? He makes good. But we have free choice. And you can choose evil if you want to. Spiritual beings are no different. God made cherubim to carry out his mission. Not all of them do. Daniel 7 is a really good example of that. And so if you've got your Bible, open it to Daniel 7. Don't just stare at the screen. I want you to see this for yourself. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the songbook rack in front of you, blue. You open up the front cover, it'll tell you where Daniel is. Daniel is pretty much in the middle of your Bible, pretty much, a little bit off to one side. Daniel chapter 7. Okay? So this is weird. Daniel's going to be seeing a vision, and he's going to be seeing a vision of what's happening in the spiritual realms and what's going to happen in the spiritual realms. It's like this psychedelic look into the future outside of time. So this is Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, which is where Daniel is. If you remember, God punished Israel for worshiping all these false gods, for chumming up to all this other stuff, for worshiping everything but him. And part of the consequence is, fine, I'll let you be governed by them. Get over there. And they get hauled off to Babylon, and it's not good. And it makes them what? Seek them. That he divided up the people in hopes that they would reach out and seek God. Okay, so in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision passed through his mind. And he was lying in bed and he wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, in my dream at night, I looked and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. We've talked about this in the past, but if you haven't joined us, in that belief system, in ancient world, they believed that evil dwelt in the water. You go over around the Sea of Galilee today, there's no resort condos. People don't live right next to it. Why? Mm-hmm. The psalmist talks about God cutting apart Rahab, not the woman who lowered the people from the wall. She was named after an Egyptian god, Rahab. And God cut apart Rahab when he divided her dwelling place. Where was her dwelling place? The Red Sea. The parting of the Red Sea was a cutting apart of that God. So anyway, the idea that these things are coming up out of the sea, ooh, scary. The first was like a lion and it had the wings of an eagle. What does that sound like? That we just looked at. I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being. The mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. And it was raised up on one of its sides and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. After that, I looked and there before me was another beast. One that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. The beast had 4 heads and it was given authority to rule. Interesting. After that, in my vision at night, I looked and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and it trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the other beasts. And it had 10 horns. Okay. So, leave that open. We're going to come back to it in just a minute, okay? But what do you see? Weird stuff, I agree. But what do you see? Did that video enlighten this passage any at all? A little bit? That there are these spiritual guardians that God is having do things that he wants done. And they're kind of a mashup of all creation. They look like this conglomeration of God's created beings. Sometimes you read in Scripture where these things are doing exactly what God has commissioned them to do. Other times, what are they? They're rebelling. And there you get a spiritual rebellion. Okay? That's not the answer to everything that you read in Daniel and Revelation, but it helps a little bit. Okay? All right. So, we're going to keep looking at a few of these. All right. So, how does Jesus fit into this? Okay? This is, I think, where I put the big, long Daniel passage in there. Yes, it is. Okay. So, now we're back on track, and I've got these scriptures here. We stopped at verse 7, I believe. Is that right? Yeah, okay. So I'll try to read it on the screen now. You can follow along, or you can follow along in your Bibles. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast. We looked at that. Terrifying, very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, and by the way, horns indicate authority and power. Moving on. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Who would that be? God, Yahweh, Ancient of Days, older than everything, always existent. Everything else is created. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. Do you remember when we were reading last week and we read a couple of passages that... Well, I did my table talk last week, kind of impromptu, and I looked over at Exodus, where they confirm the covenant with God and the elders of Israel go up on the mountain, and what do they see? Pretty much that. And they ate and drank in the presence of God. God didn't raise his hand against them. So we're seeing this vision of God, what we can see or what Daniel can see of him. His throne was flaming with fire and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 upon 10,000 stood before him. The court... The council were seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beast had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a... Son of Man. What was Jesus' most favorite name for himself? He would refer to himself as the... Why was he doing that?
The only spiritual being who came and was born as a human. Mm-hmm.
Look at what this Son of Man does in Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He's riding on the clouds. Things and kingdoms will bow down. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Quote a song. He's riding on the clouds. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Do you see what's happening here? You're seeing a son of man, a human one, elevated to a throne with God, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to. Therefore, I'm giving my authority to you. Go. Make disciples. You have been commissioned by the Son of Man to do the work of God. Co-mission. You are co-missioning. That's your job. That's my job. That's the job of the spiritual beings that God has created behind the scenes that we're not seeing. And his team wins. I've read the end of the book. We win. So act like it. Okay? But when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, he's echoing back to these passages that talk about, and they wanted to kill him for claiming to be, oh, but he never claims to be God. Every time he opens his mouth, he pretty much does. We just miss it. Yes, ma'am.
Is that what in verse 18 talking about how the little horn, like the root of Jesse? But he keeps speaking boastfully.
I don't want to run down that rabbit trail right now. When you go to try to interpret Daniel, you get a lot of headaches. This is a minor headache that I can wrap my mind around, okay? Yes, ma'am. Some of it is in Revelation 2. Yeah, John knew his Bible when he's writing Revelation 2. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of the same imagery that keeps getting churned up and pulled back around. And the idea is that there is a spiritual battle going on out there. And there might be moments where you're like, God, why? But what happens in the end? God wins. He defeats all that. Everything works out for good for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who love him. All right, moving on. How does Jesus fit into this? Let's look at what Jesus says about himself in this. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. See, there's only one Son of God. Monogenes is the Greek word there. The old King James used to translate it as only begotten, right? Only begotten. And there was there still a belief that floats around that Jesus is the highest and the greatest of all the created beings, but he was created. Why? Because it very clearly says that he is the only begotten Son. No. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Nothing was made that has not been made except for through him. That's John 1. John starts his gospel by telling you, it's God. This is an aspect of God that you're seeing. He's always been around. He's shown up where we can see him lately. And nothing was created that he didn't help create. Nothing. So the idea that you have to say, well, you're going to have to ignore a whole lot of verses and make one verse say something that it really doesn't say to try to say Jesus was created. Now that's not the issue at hand right now, okay? The issue at hand is, well, if it says it's his one and only son, what does that mean? Monogenes has this connotation that it's one of a kind. Okay? So, Pitchers and Catchers reported this past week. I really like baseball. Okay, I'll run that way. All right? The greatest Texas Ranger to ever play the game. Nolan Ryan. More strikeouts than any person can ever probably dream to have ever again. Because it was back in the days when the game's going to go 16 innings. I'm still pitching all right. I'll pitch. I'll throw 300 pitches this game. Who cares? Nowadays, pitchers are on a pitch count. They'll yank them out. They get near 100 pitches. Don't care if you got a no-hitter going. We need your arm next week. Get out of the game. Nolan Ryan had 7 no-hitters. Of active pitchers today, the ones that lead strikeouts more than any other don't have half of the number of strikeouts he had. There is no pitcher besides Nolan Ryan. Now, do I literally mean that there are no pitchers in baseball today? They don't compare. He was unique. He was one of a kind. Now, that's a pretty limited illustration. But do you get what John's saying here? This is special. This is unique. Jesus isn't like anything else. that you've seen. Monogenes. Unique. Yes.
Well, I'm also reading in Hebrew.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Oh, just the very first part of the first chapter of Hebrews, he says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the universe. So what you were saying, he made all things through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He sat down at the right hand, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the writer of Hebrews compares Jesus to other spiritual beings.
Psalms, the angels are called sons of God.
Mm-hmm. He is superior to those. Yeah, the designation B'nai Elim or B'nai Elohim, sons of God in Hebrew in the Old Testament, what it means is those who serve God, who carry out their mission. It's different. Now, you notice when Jesus goes around and he starts teaching and he says, I don't do anything by my authority. I do what the Father tells me. He is the Son of God. But no other son of God has been raised up and given a throne as the Ancient of Days with all of everything put in authority, or he's given authority over everything. He's one of a kind. He's unique. He is God in the flesh. And in that regard, there is no other. You tracking with me? Sort of. God operates through his created beings. God shows up in a number of ways. One of those ways, Jesus. There's no other name on heaven or earth by which we are saved. We'll keep chasing that rabbit trail next week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face upon you and give you peace. Go with God. Have a good week.